In our gospel text this morning, Jesus and the Pharisees are going at it again. It kind of feels like the Pharisees are Jesus' main opponent in the gospels. And this time the argument is over hand washing. Kind of seems a little silly, really, hand washing. It's an argument we'd have with maybe your kids every single day. We're going to eat our supper. Can you please go wash your hands? You just got out of the bathroom? Please go wash your hands. Is that a dead bird you're holding? Please go wash your hands. You've heard it all before. Why do we wash our hands? We wash our hands to prevent the spread of germs, don't we? At any one time, I've read that you can have up to 5,000 different kinds of germs on your hands. So we wash our hands to prevent the spread of those germs to other people. We wash our hands to prevent it from infecting us, don't we? We want to rid ourselves of germs. But the Pharisees in this text, they're not so much concerned with the spreading of disease or illness. They're concerned about the spreading of uncleanliness in religious terms. It had less to do with hygiene in that sense, but it meant when you washed your hands, you were ritually clean. Ritually clean. Now, according to the tradition of the elders, the Pharisees taught that for one really to be a full participant in the life of worship, that means whether they could go to the temple, even to synagogue, or just be a good Jewish person, you needed to be ritually clean. Not being ritually clean meant that you would be marginalized, kind of pushed to the outside of the community, separated from the community, and therefore separated from God. That's what it meant to be ritually unclean. So they took this hand-washing thing pretty seriously. So if the traditional interpretation of the law meant that you wash your hands when you come back from market or when you do whatever, you better do it, or you will be marginalized, you will be pushed to the outside. And that doesn't feel very good. Ask a high school kid, a junior higher, what it's like to be pushed to the outside by their friends, to not be included, to be forced to eat by yourself at the lunchroom because you're not cool enough or because you have cooties or whatever. It doesn't feel good. That's what it's like to be ritually unclean for the Jews, but even more so. So Jesus' disciples weren't washing their hands. And so in verse 5, the Pharisees question Jesus about this. And they question Jesus because for them, Jesus is a popular rabbi. He's kind of like them. He's a teacher of the law. He has people that follow him who he calls his disciples, which means that he's teaching them what he believes, and they're going to go out and teach others what Jesus believes. And so it's important for them to know why Jesus isn't having his disciples wash their hands. So why do your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled or unclean hands? Now again, their assumption is that throughout the course of the day, a person might go around and touch something that the tradition deems to be unclean. And kind of like germs, that uncleanliness transfers from one thing to another, and it can make you yourself unclean. So, you wash. You wash your hands. You wash your pots, your things, your cooking vessels before you eat from them. Some of this reminds me of when we lived in Park River. We had a neighbor boy that would come over who I swear always had a runny nose, was always just a little bit sick, and he had this habit that whenever he was playing with Jude's stuff or Julia's stuff, before he did anything with it, it just went straight to his mouth. just always right to his mouth with snot and all that kind of stuff on it. And then, of course, our kids would want to play with it too. And so they would touch that unclean thing, and then they would go and they would rub their faces and their eyes and their nose and their mouth, or they'd touch their food and then put their food in their mouth and become themselves unclean. This is what I think about when I think of the Pharisees, that they must have the same kind of feeling about it. But again, it's not about germs. It's about something that would separate you from God. And they didn't want that unclean thing to cause them to be separated from God. So if you touch something unclean, and then you eat with unclean or defiled hands, that would make you and your entire self unclean and defiled. So Jesus, why do your disciples eat with defiled hands? Seems kind of like a legitimate question, but Christ's response is actually pretty hostile and straightforward. Isaiah prophesied rightly about you hypocrites. As it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines. There's a couple things going on here. First of all, the Pharisees had this habit of taking a command of God and then making it more difficult, adding things to it. If you're not supposed to work on the Sabbath, well, what they would do is they would determine, well, that means that we can't take this many steps on the Sabbath. You can only take this many steps because if you go too far, that's deemed work. If there's somebody that's hurt and sick on the Sabbath day, too bad. You can't help them because that's work. You're not supposed to work on the Sabbath. Their question about the laws of God was always about, what do I need to do to obey it, and how far can I go before I am disobeying it? It was very much a legalistic kind of thing. It didn't get to the heart of the matter. And so Jesus calls them hypocrites. Now the Pharisees here, they kind of get a bad rap in the Gospels. Their concern is legitimate. They are concerned with becoming unclean, becoming separated from God, at least to a degree, separated from the community. But the problem is in their belief that breaking these traditions, these things invented by the human mind, not by God, was the cause of their uncleanliness. In other words, what it all came down to for them was in their understanding of what actually makes them unclean. Their belief was that it was something from the outside that would make them internally unclean, defiled. But Jesus has something else in mind. And so he lays it out for them in verse 14. Listen to me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going in can defile. But the things that come out are what defile. For it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come. This is a very radical teaching by Christ, and it goes against a lot of Jewish tradition and understanding. It really, basically, it turns their whole belief system upside down. Because we can control, or at least we think we can, those things that attack us from the outside, that would make us unclean. You can wash your hands from germs or whatever. You can wash your hands of that which you see is wrong. You can try to avoid it. You can distance yourself from outside infection, spiritual, physical, whatever. And if we do fall to something, we can do something about it to make ourselves clean again. For the Pharisees, for the Jews, if they broke the commands and the traditions of the elders, they could go and make the appropriate sacrifice and make themselves clean again. They could do something about it. We too do something about it. We do good. We help the little old lady across the street. We volunteer for Sunday school. We help the homeless. We do something to rectify the bad we did. This is what the Pharisees are doing by inventing laws, by adhering to tradition, by stressing the people with regulations. It is what they're doing when they wash their hands, their pots, their cups. But Christ tells them really that their whole religion is, it's just lip service. Just lip service. The problem is that we need to be washed from the inside. And even more than that, really, we need to be killed, actually. Christ says, "For it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come, fornication, thefts, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, folly. All these things come from within, and they defile a person." They come from within. How do you wash your hands of something that's already in you? Genesis 8, the Lord proclaims that the inclination of the human heart is evil from youth. What can a person do? Looking at the news this week and the news every week, it's just awful, isn't it? That shooting that we had in Virginia, the live news broadcast, maybe you heard about that. We look for something that we can do. And to a degree, the things that we can do maybe are good. Maybe stricter gun control will help to stop gun violence. Maybe we can declare that better health for mental illness will help solve some of these things. It probably will. But in a way, that's just washing the hands. The Lord tells us that evil comes from within. It infects us. We are defiled and unclean on the inside. So what can be done? The Gospels tell us. It is only the crucified, resurrected Jesus Christ who can do anything about it. We, with an infected and diseased hearts, we need to look squarely at the cross, at the one who died there for us. And we need, with Paul, to confess that we are crucified with Christ. We need to be more than washed. We need to be crucified with Him. We need to be killed, because only that which is dead can be raised to new life, to be made new. You, your sinful, defiled self, with your heart full of evil intentions, has to be crucified. Your death, through Christ's death, is the only way for our infection really to be taken care of, to be cleansed on the inside. The Lord declares this in Galatians through Paul, and I really love this passage. Paul says, "You have been crucified with Christ. You've been killed. And it is no longer you who live, but it is now Christ who lives in you. And the life you now live in the flesh, as one crucified with Him, as one raised to new life through Him, you now live by faith in the Son of God, who loves you and gave Himself for you." Christ gave Himself for you. He has taken your evil heart, your heart made of stone, and made it a heart made of flesh. He has given you new life. He has made you a new creation. He has taken those evil inclinations, and by His Spirit living in you, makes you better. He forms you to His image, and He works in you every day, making you to be more like Him. You have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer you who live. It is Christ who now lives in you. And the life you now live in the flesh, you now live by faith in the Son of God, who loved you and gave Himself for you. Let us pray. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we give You thanks for Jesus Christ, who died for us. And in His death, we also have died. And in His life, we too live. You have made us to be new creations. Help us, Lord, in this daily struggle of life to live according to Your Word, to live according to faith, the knowledge that You are working in us, that You are making us to be imitators of You, people who bear Your image. Help us, Lord, to be faithful in that, but to know also that You are the one who forgives and makes us clean. Daily, Lord, wash us from the inside out. We pray this in Your name. Amen.